And we are live on a very, very special board check right here. Happy hump day. We have made it to a Wednesday. We are going to have a lot of fun things to talk about. I'm gonna call shenanigans on a particular referee call. I'm going to congratulate the Predators. I'm going to talk some recent hurricanes, but I can't bury the lead. You guys know I can't bury the lead. I'm not going to. Jeremy the Impact York here from Impact Media. Thanks for joining us. And like I said, this is too important to not lead with it. So I am leading with it out of the gate. Our Atlanta Gladiators have been sold. Yeah, you didn't mishear me misquote that or anything like that. They have been sold. We're going to get into this. The controlling interest, and by controlling interest, I mean all 100% majority and minority owners have been sold to Virginia-based real estate developer P. Daniel Orlick. This happened on Tuesday, just yesterday. I was as thrown aback as you guys were. I didn't realize they were for sale. Actually, they weren't. But Toby Jeffries, who has been the owner for a long, long time, he is the one who actually moved the team from Mobile, Alabama to Gwinnett back in 2003. Has been absolutely fantastic as an owner. He transferred his majority stake in the team to Danner Vienna LLC, which is an entity owned by Orlick, and the ECHL Board of Governors approved it, had no problems with it. They do their due diligence. You know, first of all, I do want to give a shout out to Toby. Maybe we can get him on the next couple of weeks. He did everything in the world that you would want from a good owner, and he was even better than that. He was a great owner, did a lot of great things. The success of the team, a lot of ways, is not just tied to the talent, but it's tied to the people at the top. And to me, Toby did a great job. Hope to still see him around at some games. Be kind of nice to chat a little bit, maybe if he's around. But either way, and just so you guys know, I am practically every bit of information I'm giving you guys is from an article written by our very favorite Gladiators reporter and writer, Christine Troike, and probably have her on the next week or so too, because I want to get more into this, but I want to see it develop past this. But anyway, like I said, it's 100% sale. All the local minority owners were bought out of the deal. And I'm going to give you both sides of this, and then I'm going to give you what I think. Because both sides are very deep as to what could happen, but I'm also going to throw in, you know, these are all facts. These are no opinion whatsoever. That's why I like Christine's articles. She very much doesn't try to persuade you one way or the other. She tells you the facts. She does it in an entertaining way, so shout out to her. Once I get back to our main show page here in a minute, because I have our article pulled up, she will be the social media shout out tonight. Definitely appreciate her work. Like I said, I did not know they were for sale, which they were not. And it wasn't like a firm no, you know, one of those, no, I say no, I'll never sell it. No, it wasn't like that. There's a price for everything. If the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, didn't teach us anything else in the 80s or WWF wrestling, it's everybody has a price. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's a situation, sometimes it's time, whatever it was. In this case, it was a situation. Like I said, they were not looking to sell. Toby Jeffries was not looking to sell. But when Mr. Orlick come out of nowhere, not really out of nowhere, but when he came up, he presented the idea, and Mr. Jeffries decided, he talked it over with the minority owners, and he decided this may be the time to step out. He wants to spend more time with his family and his grandkids and such. And you can't see it right now, but I'm giving you the full salute there, Mr. Jeffries. I totally get it. I don't have any problem with it. But he said when Mr. Orlick came around, it was just the right deal. It was to the right person. They really liked this guy. You know, Mr. Jeffries had done this for 19 years. He's been a fan of the ECHL for 23 years. It's going to be different. It's going to be different not having him around. But you got to look at health. You got to look at grandkids. Things like that, other opportunities. And so you always look for an exit strategy. You don't always get a chance to pick the way you go out. Maybe when you transition from a certain line of work to a different line of work, how you transition from a student to the workforce, from being single to being married. All kinds of transitions happen all the time. Sometimes you get to go on your terms, and sometimes you don't. Especially in sports, we see it all the time. Many people say, he played too long, or that injury really limited the last 2 years of her career, those types of things. In this case, Mr. Jeffries is getting a chance to step out. So I salute him as far as that. Now, Mr. Orlich. I'll probably say both. I'm not sure which one it is. He has owned a minor league sports franchise before. He founded the Edmonton Cracker Cats of the Northern Baseball League in 2005. He held onto that for about 4 or 5 years, and then he sold it to Edmonton Oilers owner Daryl Katz, also another great guy. I don't know if that team is still in existence, but that's neither here nor there. And there's been interest in the past for the team, but it just wasn't the right deal. So now we bring up, I told you a little bit about Mr. Orlich. Now, let's go over both sides of this. And I'm going to start with you guys will think it's negative, but this is on everybody's mind. From the time I shared the article on Facebook, on Twitter, you guys immediately responded. A lot of friends of mine with interest in hockey, a lot of them may have kids that play, a lot of them are just big fans, a lot of them I've been to games with, I've seen at games. One of the main questions that came up, does this mean the team is going to move? It doesn't mean anything yet. We don't know. But here's where you could draw that conclusion. Let's think about the last three hockey teams that have played in the Atlanta area. We're going to go to the Thrashers. The Thrashers. Rest in peace. I don't even want to say rest in peace anymore, because I think at some point it's going to Falcons don't rise up. Thrashers, this one might. But that's a twinkle in my eye. We'll get into that later. A lot later. Maybe in the summer when there's no hockey. Either way. The Thrashers were owned by Atlanta Spirit when Atlanta Spirit had pretty much all but trashed them, set them on fire, and thrown them in the trash again. They sold them to the new owners of the Thrashers at that point, moved the team to Winnipeg. They're now the Winnipeg Jets. Before that, the Atlanta Knights, who were, I believe, a double-A affiliate of the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was actually the first hockey game I ever went to with the Atlanta Knights. The Atlanta Knights were sold to a different owner, and their new owner moved them to Quebec, where I believe they lasted a couple years and no longer exist, which is another long discussion. So far, 2 for 2 on new owners moving them to Canada. Way back before me, not that long ago, but way back before me, the Atlanta Flames were sold to a different ownership group that moved the team to Calgary, where they still are. So the three hockey teams we've had in the Atlanta area were all sold to new owners who moved them to Canada. So is it possible that Mr. Orlich could do that? Yes. He does have ties to Edmonton, even though there's already two teams in Edmonton, but I got to talk about that side. So could the team get moved? Yes. Could they get moved to Canada? Yes. How likely is that? I would put it at about 8 to 10% at this point, because I'm going to tell you what you guys will consider the positive part. I think that it's neutral. Both of these are neutral in my opinion, but the positive part is that Mr. Orlich is very interested in the Atlanta market. Not just because he said that, not just because his firm who made the initial statement says this, but because Mr. Jeffries said that when he met with the minority owners, that's one thing that they brought up, to which they found out from Jeffries, he's very interested in the Atlanta market. The Atlanta market is quite a good market. We're the ultimate melting pot of everybody from every industry, movies, music, sports, the whole entertainment field are here. We have industry. We have the CDC. We have all kinds of other businesses and technology and those sorts of things. Atlanta's a great market. You can't base it on attendance, but base it on merchandise sales, because we sell a lot more merchandise than we get people to show up. That's, you know, neither here nor there, but either way. He's very interested in the Atlanta market. That's a good sign. In fact, that's part of why the minority owners sold their part out, and that's why it's 100% sale. It's because they were convinced enough by Jeffries, not by Jeffries, but by Orlick, that the team will more than likely stay in the Atlanta market. That's a good thing. The fact that it happened yesterday and we haven't heard any more about it is a good sign. The fact that there's a new owner. I'm not saying that Toby Jeffries couldn't do the same things that Daniel Orlick couldn't do or is going to do. I'm just saying sometimes you get a fresh pair of eyes on something, you get a different pair of eyes on something. We do this all the time. You know, you might be at your parents' house or maybe you're with your significant other and they're just like, God, you know, I've been looking for this one thing. Maybe it's your keys, a cell phone. Maybe you're looking for a Sherlock Holmes movie that you just bought, you know, things like that. And you're just like, I've looked and looked and looked, can't find it. So you bring in a second person, second set of eyes that goes, oh, it's right here. I want to say this as well. I'm not saying that Mr. Jeffries couldn't see opportunities and things. No, he absolutely maxed out this team and then some. Mr. Orlick, I think he's got some ideas, some fresh ways to do things. We know that next year we're getting three new completely different jerseys. We've known that. I don't know if this is part of this deal or not, but, you know, we announced that, last week, getting completely new jerseys. You wouldn't get brand new jerseys if you're going to move the team, because then you would probably have a fan vote. You'd probably have the locals in that area. Plus, it's way too late in the season to up and move the team. It would be an entire calendar year. And once again, you wouldn't have brand new jerseys for a year to move the team and have to do brand new jerseys again. That could get quite expensive. But, you know, so far he likes the Atlanta market. It's too late in the year to move the team. He did a good job of convincing all the owners of some things he's wanting to do. And you just never know. It's a different way to look at things. Mr. Orlick, Daniel Orlick is a different way to look at things. So we'll have to see. My overall impression, I see you guys on the text line, so I'll go ahead and weigh in there. My overall impression, without meeting either any of these people involved, without talking to them anytime recently, I think we're good. I think the team is safe and secure here. I believe that Mr. Orlick has some very cool things in mind. He is going to be at the last three home games, and we'll get into those here in a minute, along with this week's schedule. And, I really have a lot of positive energy about this. Initially when I heard about it, I thought like you guys did. Oh, crap, this team's about to move. But I actually don't believe that. After reading Christine's article, after talking to a few people that I have, and I could be completely off base with this. I'll put that out there. And if I am, I will stand in front of you guys, or I guess talk in front of the microphone here, and then I was wrong, but I don't see it that way. One thing to keep in mind, the Gladiators have 1 year remaining on their lease with the Infinite Energy Center, and they are also currently in the playoffs. They are the last team in currently right now with 6 games left to go, 3 at home, 3 away. And half of them are division, I believe. The other half are out of the division. But like I said, I think we're safe. I think we're secure. I think, you know, more than likely Derek Nesbitt and a lot of other guys will be back next year. And I think we're good. We're going to stand behind Glad's Nation. I will be in the arena as many of the remaining games as I can. I'm going to try to get a vibe, and maybe I can reach out and get some other people. Like I said, maybe we'll get Christine on. We'll try to get Mr. Jeffries. We'll try to get whoever we can on, if we can. You know, they're all pretty busy right now, but had to get that out of the way. If you do want to read, Christine's article, you can go to GwinnettDailyPost.com, go in the sports section, go to the gladiator section. She wrote a great article, and it was back on March 20th. That was Tuesday when she posted it. Or you can go to any of our Facebooks, Twitters. They're on there. But had to get that out of the way. Absolutely had to get that out of the way. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Gladiator schedule while we're on them real quick. Just last Thursday, they took on the Jacksonville Icemen at home. We unfortunately lost that one 4-1. I don't know, that third, it just didn't line up right. We didn't quite look like we were ready to go. Not unprepared. We just looked like we were a little on the tired side, maybe. Now we followed that up with a 5-4 loss on St. Patrick's Day. Hope everybody enjoyed their dry fit shirt. Those things look very awesome. I hope you guys enjoy those. That was a great giveaway. And then we also dropped the game Monday versus the South Carolina Stingrays 3-2, which was unfortunate, but hey, six games to go. We still do sit. I'm going to pull up the standings just to make sure. We still do sit, I believe, last one in. Let's find out. Right now, we would be the eighth team, I believe. Unless I'm just absolutely mistaken. Maybe. We will see. We will see, because according to this, I got us in ninth now. So we will see how that goes. But upcoming schedule, tomorrow night we will be in Cincinnati. That is a 7:35 puck drop, as well as 7:35 puck drop in Cincinnati on Friday. And then we will play next Wednesday at home versus Kalamazoo, I believe. I guess I could just pull it up and tell you, couldn't I? Yep, we get the Cyclones for Thursday and Friday, like I said, at U.S. Bank Arena. We are here for the Kalamazoo Wings. Those sound pretty good, but can't eat those. We got them next Wednesday. That only leaves us three remaining games, two of which are at home. To finish off the year, and all three of them are in our division. So we definitely need to win at least four of these six. It would, three out of six is going to put us real close. Four out of six, I think, puts us in. And I think that would be a great sign of solidarity if we can only make the playoffs, but make them because all of you guys and myself, we all show up. We do everything we can. You know, absolutely everything that we can. Now, you guys want to know some stats real quick. Our goal leader is still Phil Lane with 31. Our assist leader is Lindsey Sparks with 41. And they are both tied as the point leaders. Brady Vale, Brandon Chook, Tanner Pond, even the captain. Captain having a great year. Not to mention that at one point we asked Derek Nesbitt to play defense. You know, Christine brought that up. I thought that was great. He was able to hold down the fort until we've just inked a few more. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them as well. Can't say enough about what Bones, Sean Bonner has done. Dan Vladar. We got Carmine Guerrero now. Matt O'Connor and then Matt Ginn to get better soon. I want to make sure. There we go. We helped our defense by signing two rookies. signed Joe Gattenby and Jack Stander. Gattenby is 20. He just completed a five-year major junior career in the WHL. He had 13 goals, 46 assists, and 59 points this year. Had a play for the Kamloops Blazers. Played 317 WHL contests for Kelowna and Kamloops. He should have some depth for sure. And then Stander recently finished a four-year college stint with the Canisius College. He had a career high in goals with three, along with 10 points in 37 games. He is a big enforcer, and he is a big guy to get around. So these two young guys will definitely breathe life into everything that we're doing, and hopefully will set us on a path to doing some pretty good things. Now, let's go on and move to the Nashville Predators. I do want to check. I see social media lighting up. I want to make sure we get to, if you guys are saying anything to us, you guys know how to get in touch with us. I do want to give a special shout out and special congratulations. That would be the word. A special congratulations to the Nashville Predators. They were the first team to clinch a playoff spot. Tampa Bay did follow them a day or so later, but they still didn't beat them. You weren't first. So, Tampa Bay, get over it. And what does this mean? Well, I'll tell you. What this means is that this is one of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs. There's about 10 games left. And I think as long as we go 500, stay on a good pace like we are, Nashville is going to be the same force this year as they were last year. So congratulations on being the first to clinch. Let's see. Saying that Pekka Rinne should be the Vezina Trophy winner is an understatement. I don't know who is a better goalie this year than him, and it would be a downright tragedy if he doesn't win it. I'm just going to put that out there. The Preds Foundation and Make-A-Wish grant a Preds-themed wish. There's a great write-up on it there. Make-A-Wish, Middle Tennessee. It was Devin Roque. He's currently battling cancer, and he wishes to ride to Thursday's game in a semi-truck. The 18-wheeler, which was provided by Thompson Machinery, is going to pick him up at the Renaissance Hotel and drop him off on Fifth Avenue in front of the Bridgestone Arena. He's going to operate machinery at Thompson Machinery as well. And then when he gets to the arena, oh, man, it's going to be on. It's going to be a party. So shout out to him. Hope everything works out well, and hope you have a good time, Devin, because what you're going through is not easy, and at least maybe we can take your mind off it for a day. The Predators earned a Sports Team of the Year nomination by Sports Business Journal, one of six teams nominated. Of course, they were already named the number one franchise in all of sports by ESPN in October, for what that's worth. They are in the contest with the Vegas Golden Knights, the Toronto Raptors, and Golden State Warriors. The Houston Astros and the Atlanta United. Ooh, I'm a little partial now. Got a couple stakes in that fire. The awards will honor accomplishments from March 1st, 2017 through February 28th, 2018. They had that historic run. That's pretty entertaining and interesting there. And the Predators have sold out 97 consecutive regular season and playoff games at Bridgestone Arena, which dates back almost two full calendar years. That is unbelievably exceptional. Not to mention, they added more seats and still sold it out. Upcoming schedule for our Nashville Predators. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. In the we'll go to We'll go to the previous games first, and then we'll talk about this week. They faced the Arizona. They were in Arizona. The Arizona Coyotes won that one 3-2. It was a good goal. Good goal to finish it up. Goals in that one by Ryan Ellis, Kyle Turris, and Kevin Fiala. The supporting staff are finally coming around at the right time, I believe. Pickerine with a 19-save victory for that one. The Predators also topped the Avalanche on Friday, I believe it was. Colton Sissons, Philip Forsberg. Colton Sissons added another one, and Philip Forsberg added another as well as the dynamic duo for the day of Colton and Philip. Sounds like a Disney show. Colton and Philip finish off the Avalanche and double them up. He had Saros with a 27-save win on that one. And then, of course, we blanked the – no, it's not me editing myself. We actually blanked shutout the Buffalo Sabres in Buffalo 4-0. Pickerine with 32 saves and the shutout. Mikey Fisher adds his second. Ryan Johansson is 12th. Philip Forsberg is 21st. And Ryan Hartman, his 11th. Always good to get Mikey Fisher in on. Upcoming schedule, just tomorrow night, be at home in the Bridgestone Arena versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's a 7 p.m. Central Time puck drop there. On Saturday, they will be in Minnesota to take on the Wild. 7 p.m. puck drop Central Time there. They'll be in Winnipeg on Sunday, 6 p.m. puck drop Central Time, of course. And next Tuesday, they will host the Minnesota Wild right at the Bridgestone Arena, 7 p.m. Central Time puck drop there. Season's winding up. Only a handful of games to go there. Now, as we move to the Carolina Hurricanes, I'm going to run a little over today, but I had to talk about the other stuff. Pesch and Rask are going to miss the remainder of the season due to shoulder injuries. They've recalled Roland McEwen. My apologies, Roland. From the Charlotte Checkers. Shouldn't be much of a problem there. I like what the Hurricanes have been doing, especially recently. So it sucked. It sucked royally, and I'm going to say that's my show. It sucked royally when Hanifin got the concussion. But I think he's going to check out and he's going to be okay. Injury bug and some other things just hitting at the wrong time, but the Hurricanes are still hanging in there, and I got all the faith in the world, and I know Kane Nation does as well. Recent games, of course, on Saturday, faced those pesky Philadelphia Flyers. Man, they're pesky. And by pesky, I mean annoying. But the Flyers were able to double up the Hurricanes 4-2. Goals in that one by Jordan Staal and Jacob Slavin. And in a losing effort, Cam Ward had 21 saves. Can't win them all. We were able to defeat the Islanders 4-3 in New York as Jacob Slavin, Lee Stepniak, and Victor Rask and Trevor Van Riemsdyk, of course, all had goals in that one. Scott Darling with the 21-save victory. Of course, that left the game on just last night, Tuesday, at home. The Oilers opened up a can and beat us 7-3. Goals in that one by Brock McGinn, Sebastian Aho, and Teuvo Teravainen. Just not quite enough. 7-3 every time. As Scott Darling had the 22-save loss in that one. Upcoming schedule for your Hurricanes. Tomorrow night, we'll be hosting, up in Raleigh, we'll be hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Not the Cardinals, the Coyotes. I'm looking at the logo and I still said Cardinals. The Arizona Coyotes. Cardinals probably play better hockey. But the Arizona Coyotes. 7 p.m. Eastern Time puck drop on that one. On Saturday, we will be up in Ottawa to take on the Senators. 7 p.m. puck drop there. We'll have a finish off the home and home there as Monday night we will host the Ottawa Senators, 7 p.m. puck drop. And on Tuesday, we'll be in New Jersey to take on those pesky Devils, 7 p.m. puck drop there. Now, the only real thing I wanted to get into with the NHL, because we're running so close on time, is that call the other night during the Chicago game. Where the puck clearly went over the goal line before the goalie and the defenseman both grabbed it and slung it out. It clearly went over the line. I saw white around it, white ice around it. And if I see white, that means if I see white between the puck, which is black, and the goal line, which is red, then clearly it was a goal. But it was ruled a goal, and then they said no and took it away. And Chicago scored right after and ended up winning that game, and I think it had a lot to do with it. So I'm not saying that the refereeing was bad. I'm just saying your review process has got to be better than it is because you took a goal off the board that actually decided a game. What happens if this happens in the Stanley Cup and you award the cup to a team that scored a goal or didn't, or that scored a goal when they shouldn't have, or take the cup away from a team that scored a goal that would have won it but didn't, or would even tied it up. So, you know, it is what it is. But that's everything I wanted to mention. Shout out to Christine Troike once again from the Gwinnett Daily Post for her amazingly awesome article. I'm Jeremy York. Thanks for joining us here on Board Check. Thanks to Impact Media. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. If you can, look for us in the iTunes store. You can search Impact Media. You can search for Board Check. Either way, give us a rating and review and definitely subscribe to us, as we definitely appreciate that. And we'll be having some contests coming up pretty soon, maybe during playoff time. But it's going to do it for us. So we'll see you guys next week. Maybe a special edition. Go Gladiators. Go Predators. Go Hurricanes. Go watch hockey. I'm a
lot better when you win.